This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome into the Fan Morning Show pre-show for this wonderful Tuesday. Colin Dunlap alongside Chris Mack, who is alongside producer Matt, who the gong needs repaired for the haiku, I think. What happened back there? Something wrong with the gong.
That's the first time I've done that.
I don't know. No, it wasn't you. It was the gong.
Something wrong with the gong.
It has a crack in it. Jim Collin, he's bouncing around talking about making bacon this morning. I'm serious about that. Not a euphemism. He was talking about making bacon. He came in here steaming. He was just wanting to tell us about making bacon. Good morning to you, Chris. How is everything?
Good morning. I didn't hear the bacon story.
Yeah.
I don't know if I... Do we want to go down that path?
No, no. Okay. He's real excited because he added bacon to his breakfast this morning that he made, and Linda made it, and he was just excited to smell up the whole newsroom, which is worse smells. I have a big question about a story that broke yesterday.
All right.
A couple stories. But this one is... It's local, and it's one that I'm sure some people have been following. I've been following this since the very beginning, and... You know, I read the newspaper. Well, I read the website, I guess. I used to read the hard newspaper cover to cover, every single word. But
the 2 days a week when it comes out now.
Yeah, I still read the whole thing. Yeah. But this story has fascinated me. So two men accused of taking more than $8 million. $8 million worth of rare books and parts of books from the Carnegie Library of Pittsburgh.
Jeez.
And then selling them to collectors pleaded guilty Monday to theft. This one guy named Greg, he's 63, he lives in Oakland. He worked as the sole archivist and manager of the library's rare book room, so he had an in, right?
Okay.
And John Schulman, he's 56, of Squirrel Hill, he owned Caliban Bookshop. They're going to be sentenced by a judge on April 17th. Now, advisory sentencing guidelines call for 9 to 16 months of incarceration in the standard range first-degree felony, although probation is recommended for these guys. So the one guy admitted in statements to his police his role in the crime. He pleaded guilty to theft and receiving stolen property. The guy who owns the bookstore, who investigators said would receive the stolen items and then sell them to collectors through his store and online, pleaded guilty to receiving stolen property, theft, and deception and forgery. All other counts were withdrawn. The Carnegie Library said the thefts are devastating because these were very rare things.
Right.
My question in all of this, and the guy was the manager of the Oliver Room, which housed 30,000 unique and valuable items. During that time, he reached an agreement with the guy who owned the bookstore. He'd take the items out and then sold them in exchange for payment. So that's step one and step two. In reading all this, I'm really interested in step three.
Okay.
And here's where it comes in for me. Let's say that you are, and again, I've been following this from the beginning because it's a fascinating story. Wouldn't the people in the market for those very rare and specific items have a working knowledge how to verify they were or they weren't attained through proper means by the person they were buying them from? Translation, buyers knew they were getting hot items, right? If you know, it's not like me and you buying
a book and it's got property of Carnegie Library.
Not just that. It's a very small and fixed and minute sect of people in this world that are looking for that. Nobody in the world wants rare book, and it's a very specific market. It's everybody wants underwear and socks.
Right.
If you want that, it's like people it's rich people who want high-priced specialty automobiles, or the people that collect baseball cards that are only want the highest end
they
of the highest
end. Only want the Honus Wagner.
Yes. There would have to be an authentication process from the buyer. To know, you wouldn't you say, hey, where'd you get this from? This is the one that we have that's in the world. Wouldn't you be suspicious of some guy that just owned a bookshop in Squirrel Hill, how he got it? Wouldn't
Maybe.
There have to be a certificate of authenticity?
That's a good question. Do they have? Is that a thing?
You know, like I seem to think it shouldn't stop with the. It should go up the chain a little bit. There has to be rich people know they were buying stolen stuff.
Probably at some point, yeah.
I don't know. It was just my thought.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, somebody probably bought something and said, I'm not worried where he got it.
Because here's the, like, if I'm buying a stereo or something, and it's a nominal fee, it's a couple $100.
Okay.
There's plenty of dudes in the world that steal stereos, or they fell off the truck.
Right.
Or TVs, you know? But this is, these are $1 million things where there's only one of.
Yeah. So I don't.
Who are the people? I want to know, and this is where the Post-Gazette needs to come in and do some reporting. Who are the buyers? Are they covering for rich people that are collecting these things? Not the Post-Gazette, but I'm saying, like, who is buying these
the
rare books?
Guy. Yeah.
Who's the bookstore guy selling them to? Would it be a list of names? Is this like a Heidi Fleiss type thing?
It sounds like, I'm going down through the story now here too, and it sounds like the guy who owns the rare bookstore is essentially, he's agreeing to, quote, a substantial reduction in charges and accepting responsibility for his association with books under circumstances whereby he should have known that the books had. So he's claiming that he didn't know any of this stuff was stolen, that the dude from the library just took it out and
but he's moving
it
them
him.
To someone.
No, I know. But I wonder, it sounds like they didn't have total cooperation from this bookstore guy.
There were reported 300 items missing and another 16 that were vandalized in 2017 during an audit. Just 42 of those were recovered from the bookstore. So and my buddies are texting me. I just got two texts right now. This sounds like it has dark web written all over it. I want to know. I'm telling you, there are going to be people that are like famous people that are caught up in this. This is like the Hollywood madam all over again, but for book collectors.
Well, it's expensive stuff. The loss of value from the thefts estimated by Pall Mall Art Advisors, which is interesting that it's called Pall Mall.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
It is estimated at over $8 million, among the largest in the world. This is
Are you following me now where I'm getting at? Because
No. I understand what you're
like
saying.
It's like when someone steals a Warhol.
Right.
And you say, well, who the hell are you going to sell it to?
Right.
There's already a buyer in place.
There's a black market. Or a dark web. Or a dark market and a black web. I don't know.
That's been my question with this story all along.
Who bought this stuff?
And was it in place before the guy? The Carnegie guy didn't just say one day, I'm going to start stealing stuff because, you know, I feel like stealing it. Like somebody, he's just a patsy here. Somebody knew where he was at and wanted him to take it out of there.
I'm wondering, see, the bookstore guy.
Go between, middleman.
The bookstore guy is the one who has the names. He knows who he sold stuff to. So their amount of whatever they have on him has to be limited because they can't force the names out of him. I don't know. I'm just doing amateur CSI Law and Order stuff over here. This is what I've learned from TV. The only way you get the truth out of a criminal is if you can get him in trouble for something bigger.
Right. Right. And if they're only getting probation, I bet they're just all going to, it's all going to come out. They're going to just start ratting on people. Maybe. I don't know. But if the two main guys are only getting probation, would it be worth pursuing? I don't know. How about this better story that I saw yesterday?
Okay.
All right. A man in Mexico was hospitalized with an erection.
Oh,
that lasted 3 days.
3 days.
3 days after he took a sexual stimulant used for breeding bulls. And now here's my very real question here. All right. Now, you know, if this starts happening to you and you can't get things to subside, so to speak, it's not settling down. Where's the threshold in the time where you call the doctor? 3 hours, 6 hours, 12 hours a day, 2 days? Never?
Oh, no, after a while, you got to get, if it's not going away, I mean.
I give it a day. I thought about this. If I go to sleep and I wake up and I'm still, the second day it's still around.
Yeah.
Then I probably call the doctor. I don't go to the emergency room. I call the doctor.
If I wake up the next day, depending on when it was taken the day before, and I try the old cold shower and that doesn't work and nothing's happening. I'm knocking coffee mugs off of countertops. I'm not going to Med Express. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Yeah, there's a call to the primary care physician, and I say, listen, doc.
I won't sit down.
Yeah. it normally wouldn't be a problem, but I got a problem. Because they said this dude almost lost his friend. Like, they almost had
to amputate.
Yes.
Wow. Interesting.
Like, I guess there was that much, they were worried about that much damage being done to this piece of equipment.
His area.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if it was worth it. Did it tell the first part of the story? Did he get the result that he needed, that he wanted?
I don't know.
His intended use.
He got the result, I think. I don't know if he ever got to put the results of his experiment to good use.
This also tests my theory, too, in a different way. I have a theory that, you ever see those commercials where there's like people sitting in a tub for the little blue pill and whatever?
Right.
And it says, please ask your doctor if your heart's healthy enough for sex. Not one person in world history has ever done that.
No.
Every single man has risked it. Every single person. That primary care physician has it's never gone like this in a doctor's office.
No.
Hello, doctor's office. Let me get the doctor. You have a question for the doctor? Hold on. And the doctor comes on. Hey, can I help you out? Yeah, I have a question. They asked me to ask you if my heart is healthy enough for sex. No man has ever made that call in world history. Every guy has taken the chance. Every single person has taken the chance. Not one man has asked. Ever. Ever, 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 ever.
That's a fair point.
Ever.
Emergency surgery.
Emergent.
Emergency surgery they had to go under. Oh, he did. Hold on. I'm just scrolling through the story here. He took the drugs with the intention.
Okay.
The intention of having a, quote, successful sexual encounter.
With somebody like 30 years younger,
with a young woman of 30 years.
Of 30 years, and he's like 60-some. Okay. I would just show him a picture of Roseanne Barr and say, here, that fixes things.
Well, that's the worst. They show you a picture of something you find unattractive, and the thing won't go away.
Right.
And you're like, please, buddy, just relax.
Just settle it down. But there's a photo where it's all like squared out in the New York Post, and he's laying on a table in Mexico City, Guadalajara. He's laying, but it's not.
Here's a story.
Got his antenna pointed
up. A sentence that I never need to read in a story about this area of the body.
Uh-huh.
And this is farther down in the New York Post story.
Let's hear it.
Last year, a 41-year-old man in the UK went under the knife.
Oh, gosh.
To mitigate a 36-hour edition of this.
Use it or lose it. I mean, get it.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I don't know.
Under the knife.
All right, when are you calling the doctor? A day?
The next day.
What if the doctor goes, there's nothing we can do for you. You've got to live like this. You either live like this or we cut it off.
I guess I live like that.
I just get bigger pants, I guess.
Yeah, you wear sweatpants all the time.
Man, that'd be tough.
You get some of those really big oversized hoodies that hang down around your waist, down, you know?
That would be tough. Oh, gosh. Jeez, happy to see me all the time. All the time. Jeez.
Yeah. Oh.
Matt, this ever happened to you?
When does it start to
It's happening to him
never,
right now.
Never hurts.
It never hurts?
No, it would never hurt. Would never hurt.
Yeah.
I don't think
it would hurt. It would just be annoying after a while.
Well, the guy called the doctor for a reason.
It wasn't because he was a Mexican doctor, too.
It wasn't because he was slightly annoyed by it. I mean, you don't call unless that thing's giving you some issues.
Doc, you probably get this all the time, but I swear you've never heard this one before. Oh, try me. Oh, man. You imagine being the doctor. Just come to my office right now. Or, hey, you know what? I don't take your insurance. That'd be my play if I was the doctor. You know what? I don't take your insurance anymore. You're going to have to call someone else. Call Highmark. I'm out. Man, tough stuff. Anyway, yeah, that's that. Vinny Serrato joins us at 8:30. Daryl Ryder from 92.3 The Fan. 92.3, right? The Fan in Cleveland. Yeah, yeah. There we go. So we talk some Ravens. We talk some Browns. Their seasons are both over. We get into some hockey. We get into some baseball cheating. We get into some national championship. We get into all of it. Coming up next, Fan Morning Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.